thing to think through. You know, because have you ever heard anybody tell you they don't believe in magnetism? I never have. Most people believe. You can talk about stuff that's not seen all the time. And people don't doubt those things at all. Yes. And you talk about God. Now you bring that up. Oh, okay. Now we got an issue. You see what I'm saying? And so basically we preach Christ crucified. But God has given a lot of evidence, and we thank him for letting us be here today on this Resurrection Sunday of 2016. And it is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. One more time. Amen. Somebody said I'm glad to be in the service. One more time. Amen. Didn't have to. That's right. He didn't have to let you live. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. But he decided that he would. He blessed us. And it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Amen. So we're going to move right along. That was just somewhat of a thought that crossed my mind when you think about the beauty of music. There's all kinds of gases in the room, nitrogen and oxygen. And if there's gases we can't see, like carbon monoxide, we put detectors in so we can detect that they're there. People don't say, I'm not getting carbon monoxide detectors because I've never seen no carbon monoxide. No, they go buy a detector and put it in because they heard that it's lethal and it can take you out. And so we do believe in invisible things, and even though we may say we don't.
All right.
Things like the resurrection that happened back 2,000 years ago when Messiah had come into the world and given his life as a ransom for our sin had been written in the Word. Even the Word, spoken Word, is an invisible thing. Have you ever thought of it?
Yep, it is.
The Word of God comes to you in an invisible manner. God designed your body with receptors that pick up the invisible.
Yes.
And we call them ears. That's why Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Amen. Let us take just a pause before we execute this text that God has given us here today. And I want you to be prepared for the message. And so we're going to invite the presence of the Lord once again into our mind. Let us pray. Everlasting God, we bless you today, oh God. We just give you praise. We honor you. We glorify your name, Lord. We thank you that you made it possible for us all to be here today, Father. We pray for those who couldn't be here. We know we have some members that are extremely faithful, and they have been impaired by health issues, oh God, not to be able to make it here today. And so we want to say a special word of prayer for them, Lord, that you would touch their bodies, oh God.
Touch, Lord.
Heal them, Lord, just like you did the man with the withered hand or any of those, God, who you worked with in the time when you walked the earth, veiled in the body of Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask you to touch them today, God. Let special grace be upon them today. And let them come again and give you the praise, because we know when they walk in that door, when they come in that front door, they're going to say, hallelujah, we thank you, God, for delivering me one more time. We want to thank you for some of them who are sitting here right now, God, who have just been through bouts of sickness, and they've been under the surgeon's knife, oh God, and they've been under medications, and yet you bought them through.
Thank you, Lord.
And so we thank you for them right now, God. We thank you for somebody here today, God, didn't make it because they had a troubled mind, and you gave them peace so they could be here today. Somebody had a financial issue. It was hard for them, God, but you fixed it, Lord. And so, Father, we just thank you for all that you have done, God, for us to be here. We know that just as the evil one in the world and the flesh and even the government worked against you when you came into the world, that they sometimes work against us. And so, God, we ask you to gird us with strength, resurrection power, that we might stand even against difficult times, situations, troubles, anxieties, things that attack us and threaten our peace, Lord. Teach us to set our minds on things above and not on things on the earth.
Lord.
Teach us to realize that we have already died in Christ, those of us who trust him. And that we have also been risen up with him in the newness of life, oh God, to walk in his grace and his mercy. Temper us today, God, with those things as we hear the word that you have sent forth for us to enjoy. this resurrection Sunday. And help us always, God, to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Be among us, O God, as your word goes forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I have a special message today I want to talk with you about resurrection. Are you surprised? It is the power of the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is that good news that Paul said it was delivered to me just as it had been to the other apostles. That Christ Jesus came into the world, that he died, he was laid in the grave for 3 days and nights, and got up with all power in his hands. On the third day morning, he arose, and now he is ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
Amen. That means his mission was complete.
Right.
He didn't go into a tabernacle made by man or a temple built by man.
Yeah.
He went into the heaven of heavens.
Yes, he did.
You know, as he was departing, some things happened. You know about those, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
It says when Jesus had cried with a loud voice on the cross, it is finished.
Yeah.
And Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, that the veil of the temple, which was a big curtain that covered over the holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was, the veil of the temple, the Bible says, was rent in the midst.
Yes.
Ripped half in two.
Right.
And that's what separated man from God.
Yes.
Where only the high priest could go in that compartment to worship God once a year. And he couldn't go without blood. He had to make a sacrifice for himself.
Amen.
Some of you were here. We talked about he came in with his pristine white uniform on, carrying a bullock behind him. Bringing him up there because he had to sacrifice a bull for his own transgression.
That's right.
And when he slashed the bull, we say he cut the bull, that blood began to flow. He was saturated with blood. The white garment was stained with the blood of an animal. And he had to proceed to wash himself and give sacrifice for other people that day. But it was unacceptable to God for that priest to ever enter into the Holy of Holies without having made a sacrifice for himself.
That's right.
A priest is a mediator between God and people. He's a go-between. He talks to God for the people. And he talks from God to the people. So he's kind of a mediator in between God and the people. And the Bible teaches that the Old Testament priests had to prepare themselves because they too were imperfect.
That's right.
Just as all people are today. We all have an issue with sin. We are all imperfect. Nobody would be able to stand in the presence of a holy God without a proper sacrifice.
That's right.
And so what happened after the priest made a sacrifice for himself, he was able then to make a sacrifice for the people.
Amen.
So what God perfected, and we're going to look at this in the text that we have set before us here today, he was designing a system wherein the priest himself was perfect. And that priest would have no flaw, no need to offer anything for himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was clean as the driven snow.
Yeah.
He was as perfect and holy as God himself.
Yes, he was.
Yet he took on humanity without taking on the sin and the blood of Adam into his body because of the perfection of God, who designed a way to come into the world without contaminating himself. When he made Eve, when he said it's not good that the man should be alone, all the way back at that time. He was thinking about us the whole time. And so we're going to talk about the significance of resurrection. Without the resurrection, there is no gospel.
All right.
It's not good news if there's a tomb in Israel over there and the body of Jesus is laying in it. That's not good news. That's true of all the other human priests and mediators, people who profess themselves to be a mediator between God and men. You know, they're laying in a dusty grave waiting on judgment.
Yes, they are.
But it is good news that they went and they searched diligently after they had crucified our Lord, laid him in a borrowed tomb that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah that said he was with a rich man in his death, that he was numbered with the transgressors. They hung him between two thieves on the cross. They let a murderer go free before him. He was the scapegoat, leaving with sin, being forgiven. His name was Barabbas, if you read about him in the scripture. Yet the Lord of glory was crucified on the middle cross on a hill called Golgotha. He was lifted up, had no transgression of his own. But he went there, as Peter said, to bear our sins in his body on the tree. And he said before he died, if I be lifted up, that I will draw all men unto me. And he fulfills that because God has made Jesus Christ the focal point of human history.
Amen.
And I say that because the very calendar we use, you all know I like to remind people about this, tells us it's been 2,016 years since he was born. And this is only true of Jesus Christ. It's not, does not apply to any other person or any other religious faction. It only applies to Jesus Christ, and the world is configured around him. So God has given you a salient reason to believe in his son. It's not a myth. Your birth certificate is based on his.
Yes, it is.
And he died because he loves you, and you couldn't be right with God apart from him paying your bill.
Amen.
Now, this is not some newfangled thing. The Jews even rejected Jesus when he came at that time. God knew that they would do it. He had already written it in the scriptures throughout the time from Moses clear through to Malachi. He talked about how he would be rejected by his own people. John summarized it in the book of John, the Gospel of John. He said he came to his own, and his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. So he knew there would only be a remnant in Israel who would believe. He also knew his initial promise to Abraham, who was a Gentile, that I will bless the whole world through your seed.
Oh, yes.
He said in Genesis 12 to Abraham that in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God promised a blessing to Gentiles all the way back in the days of Abraham. And 42 generations later, his son was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, who came through the line of Abraham for 42 generations. And she received an annunciation at his conception that she would bear the child whose name would be Jesus, because he will take away his people's sin. He shall save his people from their sin.
Amen.
His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us, Matthew 1:23.
Yes, Lord.
And so it had been told in the prophets that Messiah would come, and he would himself would be a priest, but not after the order of the Levitical priesthood, but he would be a priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is a different priesthood that existed even before the Levites had been born, before they were ever conceived through Abraham's family.
Amen.
That would be
Amen.
Generations later.
Yeah.
We talked about him in an earlier lesson from Genesis 14.
Yes.
And so Christ is after that order, and he's not of the tribe of Levi, but of the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
And God had established that in the Old Testament. Now, I'm just giving you some details here, but I want you to see that even though he would be a priest, that he would be the mediator between God and men, that he would take on the sin of all mankind, pay the debt by being crucified on the cross according to Psalm 22, and all fulfill everything the law and the prophets had said about him, none of it would mean a thing if they just kill him and put him in a tomb.
All right.
And that's the end of it.
Yes.
And the thing we're excited about here at St. Timothy is the fact that he didn't stay in the tomb. Not only here, but in every church all over the planet, who is this morning proclaiming the victory that Jesus won. You know what? He didn't do it for himself necessarily, although he did receive something from doing what he did. You know what he received? The Bible says he received joy. God was joyful to make a way for me and you to be saved. It says in Hebrews 12, it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. No priest ever sat down in the Holy of Holies. There was only one seat in there, and it was called the mercy seat. And you wouldn't dare put your hips on the mercy seat. That would have been totally an abomination. You would just drop dead. One guy touched the Ark of the Covenant and dropped dead. God struck him dead because he touched the Ark of the Covenant when it was about to fall off of a cart.
That's right.
And so basically, you would never sit there. That was the only seat in the Holy of Holies. But now the Bible tells us that God's son, the perfect high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, when he had made payment for all of our sins and transgressions, that he sat down at the right hand of God. That is so significant.
Yes.
Why? Because he got out of the grave having defeated even death.
Yes.
That was one enemy that had never been defeated. Everybody born in the flesh died.
Right.
You know what? We have evidence of that, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Every time, and this is a great street because you can stand out here and you see the hearse wheels going up and down this street all the time in the path, taking somebody to the cemetery.
Yes.
And it still goes on today. Only one person beat the sentence of death, and that was our Lord Jesus Christ. Some people he raised from the dead, but they had to return to the tomb. People like Lazarus, the widow of Nain's son. People who had been risen before, he brought them back to a temporal life. But the Bible says when he got out of the grave, he was never to return again. And whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. So the hope of the resurrection is the power of the gospel. The gospel is the good news that God loves you. You can't do anything to make yourself right with him except believe on his son. Sometimes, you know what, every so-called religion in the world is based on good works. You have to do good works in order to, maybe you might be right, God may or he may not accept you. You know, you really don't ever know. You don't have any assurance. You may or you may not get in, but if you just do more good works, that's the best you can hope for. Well, that's pretty sad. That's pretty sad.
Oh, yes.
Not only that, but it discredits God.
That's right.
God is absolutely holy.
Yes.
No spot, no blemish, pure holiness.
Amen.
You know what? I'm saying that, but I know nobody in the room understands it.
No.
Pure holiness. We can't understand it. It's so high above our ability to focus our mind. What does it mean to be entirely holy? You know, the angels looked up on God when Isaiah caught a glimpse of him in Isaiah 6. They said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Now, we know that part, but we don't want to give him the glory. We got folks who want to worship the earth, trying to save hug a tree and all this kind of thing. But God designed the tree. He made the tree. He made the seeds. He made a reproducing system that continues to replicate itself again and again. He filled the world with splendor and majesty so that you could behold his glory.
Yes.
The Bible says the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Yes.
You know, and there's coming a day when people will study war no more. Right now we live in a time when people are trying to figure out who can make the biggest bomb and the most destructive way to destroy man. But God said there's coming a day when they will study war no more. They won't learn war anymore. They'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Man shall not lift up sword against his brother. And basically the world will be in a time of peace. How does that happen? Only one way, by the gospel and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So as we consider the fact that Jesus, God's only begotten Son, rose from the dead, just what does that mean for us? What does that mean to you? I want to give you just a few things to hang your thoughts on today. How are we to understand the meaning of this historic fact? And what if they had produced the body of Jesus? We there wouldn't be any church today.
All right.
There'd be nobody preaching Christ.
That's true.
Nobody. It'd be just another sarcophagus rolling down the streets of Jerusalem. What's the big story with that? No big story there. See, but the fact is they could not produce the body of Jesus.
Amen.
There are unsolved murders today on the books right now because there is no corpus delicti. That means dead body. Simply put. If you don't find the body, you can't convict anyone. That's why people try to destroy the body and put concrete shoes on folks and drop them in the sea and all this kind of stuff. So the body never comes up. Because if the body comes up, they're going to find out who killed it. You see? And so finding the body is always a thing necessary. So they sought the body. They went and looked to find out, how can we prove that he's dead? Because they didn't want him to be alive. Because otherwise, you would never be able to stop people from preaching.
That's right.
That he rose from the dead. You know what? They never found the body. Why? Because he is not here. He is risen. The angel said. So the resurrection is an essential building block in your understanding of what God has done for you. It gives power to the gospel, the good news that he loves you. That's why God arranged it so that the world is configured around no one else but Jesus. And so I'm just going to read this narrative to you today. I'll kind of take it into the message today as we go. In the Old Testament, Daniel, the prophet, he is a supreme prophet of the Old Testament. He writes stuff that was not fulfilled, and even some of it hasn't been fulfilled yet. But Daniel told us about the resurrection. He says in Daniel chapter 12, he says, and at that time, Michael, speaking of Michael the archangel, he is only one of two angels that are named, or actually three, two and a half. We say two and a half angels. That's Gabriel, Michael, and Satan, or Lucifer. We call him a half because he's a fallen angel. He is not a real full angel, a holy angel, and Michael and Gabriel are called archangels. That means high angels. They're in the highest order of angelic forces. Okay, and it says here, Daniel says at that time, Michael, who apparently his assignment is to look over the people of Israel, primarily, at that time he shall stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, Daniel says, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that same time, it'll be the worst time of trouble the world has ever seen. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. See, now, that time hasn't happened yet. The Jews are still in slavery in their own minds because they have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now, that lets you know God already knows who's going to be saved.
He does.
He's already written it down from eternity.
Amen.
So no, there's no surprise when Israel rejects Messiah. And they still do that even 2016 years later. Many of them do. Now, there are Jewish people who do believe and they are saved. They trust in Christ. And there are Christian brothers and sisters just like the rest of us.
Yes.
Those who believe. So let's not discount the entire nation. But let's just say as a nation, they overall reject Messiah and say he did not come and that he did not rise. Now, this is what Daniel does. He cuts to the chase here in verse 2, Daniel 12 and 2. He says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, the prophet says, the angel says to Daniel, and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So we see the prophecy of the resurrection. This is one place written by Daniel, and it includes all the people in the human family. Everyone will be raised from the dead. Did you know that?
Oh, yes.
Righteous or unrighteous.
Right.
But the thing is, where will you be? Will you be with God, or will you be separated from God? Because everyone's getting up. But you're going to either get up to judgment and condemnation and contempt of God, or you're going to get up in his good graces and his favor because you put your trust in his son, Jesus Christ, and believe that God raised him from the dead. So the promise of the resurrection from the dead is perhaps the most distinguishing factor that gives believers in Jesus Christ hope that is not found in any other form of religion or belief system that is in the, and it's the central message that God basically proves his total forgiveness for all sin. That's how we know you're forgiven. Why? Because Jesus took my sin. He bore my sin in his body on the tree. He died. The wages for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you trust Christ, a transfer happens. All of your sin debt that you owe God is transferred to Christ. He bears your sin in his body on the tree, which happened in history past. Now, all of your sin, did you hear what I said? God says all your sin is cast upon him. And he died on the cross for you. Now, you know what he died? The Bible says the wages for sin is what? It's death. Did Jesus owe God his life or his soul? No. You know why not? Because he had not sinned. There was no deceit in his mouth. He'd never done anything wrong. You know what? So therefore, he could pay the bill of whoever trusts in him. He could bear your sin. He was a sin-bearing lamb on the cross for whoever trusts him. People who look forward to him, like Moses and Abraham, the Bible says Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. God painted the picture of the cross to Abraham when he told him, take your son Isaac, your only son whom you love, and take him up to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him there. And he put Isaac on the wood. The Bible says he laid the wood, Isaac on the wood, like that's kind of a picture of God's son on the wood, on the cross. And Abraham raised his hand with the knife to take his son's life. And God said, stay your hand. He sent an angel, stopped Abraham in his tracks. Spare your son, but go over and get that ram that is caught in the thicket. That set up that sacrificial system that continued to roll all the way up until the time when Jesus himself came into the world. The Bible says God spared his son. But Paul says in the book of Romans that he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? See, so he didn't spare his son. He didn't stop it when Jesus was on the cross. You know what? Just the opposite. He forsook him on the cross. Turned his back. Forsook his own son. That's one of the few times, in fact, the only time we see in the word that Jesus cried out, instead of saying, Father, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He saw him as God at that point. Now, somebody said, well, how can God speak to God? And they want to try to figure it out. There's some connections within the Godhead. Why do we think we should understand everything? I just want to ask. There's some stuff that's way over your head. Always will be.
Right.
But what you need to do is believe what God said.
That's it.
What thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
You know what? Jesus was human. The human Jesus cried out to God. Because
right.
This is a horrible agony that I'm going through.
Yes.
Here, nobody ever suffered that much in life.
No.
Anybody. He was marred and wounded and brutally attacked more than any man.
Yes.
His visage was just wrecked. He was the most awful thing you would ever want to see. People hid their face. They couldn't stand to look at him. He had been mauled and butchered so much before he went to the cross. This is another reason that you know he was God. You know what? I could slash my wrist right now. If you don't get somebody in here in just a few short minutes or stop the blood, you'll be dead in 2 or 3 minutes. How about Jesus bleeding all night long? Being whipped all day long? Being spit on and pressed the crown of thorns into his head. All of that. He was bleeding from so many wounds, it was unbelievable. The bleeding of Jesus was a miracle in and of itself. No person has that much blood to endure as much as he did and hang bleeding down on the cross. So that's another reason, you know, he was more than a man.
Mm-hmm.
But hanging there, feeling the pain, you know what, the pain was real. You know, he didn't go into shock. You and I probably would just pass out and go into shock.
Yeah.
If something like that happened to you, if half of what, a third, a tenth, a very little bit of what happened to him would send you into shock.
Yeah.
And you go into a coma, you wouldn't be able to handle it. But he was fully coherent
through
the whole thing. And it didn't stop till he stopped it. He hung there first thing. He said, Father, forgive them. You pray for our forgiveness. For they know not what they do. Now, that tells us right there, we don't know everything. You know what I'm happy about? I don't have to.
Yeah.
I don't have to know everything. I just need to know what God said.
Amen.
I just need to understand that he loves me.
That's it.
His love overrules my ignorance.
Yep.
The fact that I don't know.
Yeah.
And his intercession, he said, Father, forgive them.
Yeah.
For they know not what they do.
Yeah.
You know, we got stuff we do. We don't understand why we do it.
No.
We know it's not right. We feel bad when we do it, whatever it is.
Yes.
But he knows you, and he loves you anyway.
Anyway.
That's what I want you to see here this morning.
Thank
he loves you anyway.
Anyway.
But you know what? He's not going to leave you like that.
That's right.
Whatever that is you're dealing with, turn it over to him.
Turn it over.
And watch and see, won't he fix it?
Yeah.
He's the only one that can fix it. I can know.
Yeah.
I know because I got a whole list of stuff that he cleaned up out of my life.
Oh, yes.
He fixed it. And you know what? I don't know how he did it. But I do know he fixed it.
Yes.
That's like the blind man said, well, you know, is this the man who he said, I don't know. He said, I know I was blind, but now I can see. I don't know how he did it. I don't have to understand it. But he sure did it. So what, you know what, you got stuff you're dealing with? Turn it over to Jesus. You don't need to understand it. Just trust him. That's what faith is. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So you don't have to see it. You don't have to lay your eyes on it for it to be true of you. God is going to bless you if you trust him and walk by faith. Let's get back on track here. That was a side point. But I want you to see that the point is that God loves you. The central message of God is that he provides total forgiveness for all sin and complete mercy that actually restores what Adam lost when he disobeyed God.
All right.
And he brought condemnation and death upon all mankind.
Yes, he did.
Now I want you to hear Peter, what he says about this resurrection situation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Do you know if you trust God, it's because he chose you?
That's right.
You did not choose him. John 15, 16, Jesus said, you did not choose me, I chose you. God chooses you. If you believe, it's because he selected you.
That's right. Amen.
We didn't have enough sense to figure out that he was God and he sent his son. He quickened your life and gave you faith when you heard the gospel. Yes. The good news that I love you no matter what your state is. People have accused the church of being ill and wicked against people who are struggling with deep sins. Things like homosexuality. Things of that sort.
Yes.
You know, people who are murderers and people who are sex offenders.
Yes.
You know, they really aren't. We're not. We're not able to judge them.
Right. Yes.
God's the only one that can fix them. They do need to be fixed.
Amen.
I am going to agree with God.
Amen.
The reason people don't get fixed is that they don't trust God.
Right.
And they don't think I need to be fixed. You disagree with God. God says you need to be fixed.
Right.
And so he fixed me. He's still working on me. I got some deep-seated issues.
Yes.
God is still working
Amen.
On me in my life. Yo, you might have been through some stuff you've been
yes.
dealing with a long time
yes.
in your life.
Yes.
God will break the stronghold if
yes.
you can trust him with it. Put it in his hand.
Yes.
But don't disagree with him. That's the worst thing you can ever do.
That's right.
You need to agree with God.
Yeah.
Understand he loves you.
Yes.
And he's the only one that can break those chains and set you free. And so and he wants to do it, but he doesn't want to break into your life and storm in like some of the people who may have done whatever it is that caused you to be in the situation. That you're in. God won't do that.
Yes.
He wants you to open the doors. You know, we have closet sins, we say.
Yes.
Folks talking about I'm coming out the closet.
Yeah.
You know, well, you know what? Get back in the closet and pray to God and ask him, clean me up.
Yes.
He said go into your secret closet
yes.
and pray to your Father in heaven
yes.
who will reward you openly.
Amen.
You know, so don't come out the closet. You need to stay in there for a while
yes.
and ask God, fix me.
Yes.
Help me, Lord.
Yes.
I agree with you. This is not right.
That's
break
right.
the chains.
Yes.
And he's
wow.
done it for thousands, I want you to know.
Yes, yes.
There are thousands of people that had bondages of different types.
Mm.
Dope is a horrible thing.
Yes.
All kinds of things. Lust is a horrible
yes.
thing
yes.
that binds people's minds.
Yes.
You know, a lot of things bind us. We're not going to talk about that. We'll move on here today. So, but if the Spirit of the Lord is working on you, let him work on you.
Yes.
Give him your life. Turn it over to him. He says here, speaking to these people in these different parts of the world where they were scattered, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, mercy is when God doesn't give us what we deserve. He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, if you think about the fact that God gave his son, allowed him to be mutilated on a cross, and not until he was ready to go, that's when he went. He didn't go any time before. He knew the scriptures needed to be fulfilled. He said, I thirst, because it was written in the word.
Yes.
You know what? He had the ability to, he created all the water that exists anywhere. But he said, I thirst. That shows you how important it is that the scriptures need to be fulfilled.
Yes.
It was the fulfillment of the prophecy that he would cry out from the cross, I thirst. And so basically he did that, and then he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He took care of his mother. We heard these things on Friday evening, how the seven things that Jesus said from the cross, he was dealing with other people's issues. And he had to do all of that before he could check out.
All right.
And when it was all done, man had done his very worst.
Yes.
And yet God had done his very best.
Model.
He forsook his own son because he was the only one that could handle that. In the history of the world, if God forsook me or you, we would be like Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone.
Yes.
See, but Jesus was the only one that could take it. That proved that he was the Messiah. The only one. And so basically, he said at that point, when he had fulfilled all the scriptures, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He commanded his own spirit to leave his body.
Yeah.
So that's why he said, that had to fulfill John chapter 10. He said, no man taketh my life from me.
Right.
But I lay it down that I
Amen.
Might take it up again.
Amen.
So he was fully in charge. He dismissed his spirit and gave up the ghost. The Bible says the veil of the temple was rent in the midst.
Yes.
And in other words, the way to the Ark of the Covenant was opened up. Nobody understood who did that. You know who did it? God did.
God did.
I'm done with temple worship and sacrifices and all that. The sacrifice that satisfied me has been made. The only sacrifice that ever satisfied me has been made. Hebrews 10:4 says that he is not does not delight with the blood of bulls and goats.
That's right.
That never satisfied me. But only my son. And so Jesus offered God a spotless sacrifice with no blemish. So Peter goes on to say, we have an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. See that? That fadeth not away. Don't worry about it fading away. Where is it? It's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. So when you get there, you can know Jesus has already covered you. You can have faith and hope for the future. So the hope of the resurrection has been taught by Old Testament prophets and is boldly proclaimed by the holy apostles of Jesus Christ to be preached to every member of the human family throughout all of human history, and was set in motion by Christ Jesus, God's Messiah, who is the only Savior and mediator between God and men. There is no other. I want to let you know. People tell you there's other ways to God. Jesus says that there is no other way to God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so you can believe a lie if you want. You can go with the politically correct crowd. You'll find all of them on the judgment seat of Christ being judged and cast into hell. Everyone who does not trust Christ is going to be under the judgment that Daniel said. There are two groups here in Daniel 12. He says that as many as that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. And these are the two crowds. Some to everlasting life. That's those who believe God.
All right.
And trust in his Messiah. And some to everlasting shame and contempt. So you have two audiences you can be with. You know what I want to be? I'm going to be like Louis Armstrong. I want to be in that number.
Yeah.
When the saints go marching in. Amen. I want to be with those who believe God.
That's right.
And believe the resurrection of the Son. The other crowd is going to be in bad trouble. Faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ alone has the power to deliver the believers of God's promise. God made a promise from worry and from guilt.
Yes.
Do you go around with guilt and worry about how things are going to work out for you?
Thank you, Lord.
You shouldn't. No reason for you to worry. If you trust Christ and you believe God raised him out of the grave, what are you worried about?
Right.
He can handle it. If he can handle that, he can handle your issues. He doesn't have any problem dealing with whatever you're going through. You ought to trust him a little bit more. Deepen your faith and trust in the Lord. Because he will deliver you from guilt and worry, and he provides hope of reunion with loved ones who also trusted in God in the new heaven and the new earth, which Jesus is preparing for all who trust in him. I was listening to Brother Michael and Brother Donovan, and I even think about my own relatives and people I know who have passed and trusted in God. And I know I'm looking for that day too,
yes.
Michael,
yes.
When I'll see them again, because I know they had their faith anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes.
You know, and I think about a few who I don't know. I say, I don't know if they were really right or not, but I'm not the judge.
That's right.
So I hope they did. That's all I can say.
That's it.
And I can't change what they believe or what they've been going through. Anybody that is going on, their fate is already sealed. They either trusted Jesus or they didn't. They either believed that God raised him from the dead or they didn't.
That's it.
It's hard to be in the world without hearing about it.
That's right.
Because God has configured the world around Christ.
Amen.
So it's very hard to be here and not know that 2016 is about Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not about anybody else that professes to be God or have a religious system. It's only about Christ.
Only about Christ.
Every document you ever wrote, remember when you were in kindergarten, I'm going to take you back and I'm almost through. When you were in kindergarten, they said you put down your name, put the date. You've been writing a date that centered on Jesus all your life, ever since you learned to write.
That's right.
And read. It hasn't changed. It's not going to change.
Yes.
He is the only one that can save you.
The only one.
And you ought to believe him. You know what? You would have some joy in your soul if you believe him. You would. You see that the problems I'm dealing with are small compared to what he has already accomplished. And he didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. He loves you just like you are. You know what? We have a problem. We judge ourselves. We get up on a high pedestal and say, oh, you know, because you know all about everything you did. I always tell people I'm the worst sinner I know.
Me too.
You know why? Because I know everything about me.
Amen.
I don't understand why I did, but I can't judge you because I know too much about what's happening with me. But you know what? Christ is able to forgive you for everything. That's the deal. There is no deal if he can't forgive me for everything. I can't be happy if I believe, oh, this one sin over here is going to keep me out. No, Jesus went to the cross. He hung, bled, and died. He was forsaken by God. Fulfilled the scriptures. He knew they would lay him in a tomb. You know what? I don't know how Joseph of Arimathea had it in his spirit that I'm just going to give him my grave because he needs a place to lay. Did he understand that? I don't think so. Nicodemus, who had came to him by night, said, Master, we know you are a teacher come from God because no one can do the signs that thou doest except God be with him.
Amen.
And he looked him in the eye and said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say it unto thee. Don't let this blow your mind, Nicodemus. You must be born again. Peter said it right here. Verse 3, 1 Peter 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. That means we were born again. Unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If you trust God, the Spirit of God has given you faith to believe him. Now all you need to do is obey the Spirit of God. If you trust what God said, believe that God raised his son from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. God is not flaky. If he told you that, guess what? That's exactly what he means. You don't have any part to do with it at all. That's the freeness of salvation. And the resurrection is the power of the gospel. So I'm here to encourage you. That's one of the jobs God has given me. It's not really a job. It's a pleasure.
Yes.
It's a great pleasure for me to announce to you that God loves you just like you are. He will save you. He wants to save you. He loves you so much, he does not want you to perish. That's what the simple verse that you may have learned says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, that means anybody. There's no caveats, no big eyes, no little U's. Presidents, kings, all kinds of people like that, they need Jesus just as bad as you and me. They're not going to be saved without him. If they say they believe him, you know what? I question whether they do or not. That's not my job, and I'm not concerned about it. But if you believe him, why don't you say what he says? Why don't you do what he says? Not just to say it. But you know what? Sometimes you have to start saying what God says. Don't deny God. That's a bad mistake. Terrible mistake to deny God.
Yes.
God has said it. You know what? Him giving you his word, this is easy compared to making a tree. How do you make a tree? Yes. How do you make a tree? Does anybody know the answer? Do you think that we have any scientists anywhere who can all get together and pull all their computers and all that and figure out how to make a tree? No. A tree is probably a big project. How about a blade of grass? You can't do that either, can you? No, you can't. So God is so awesome. Don't try to figure it out. If you don't understand it all, just believe him. That's why it requires faith.
Right.
Faith means I believe you because you said it. Him giving me his word is easier than how do you put a sun out in the universe. It's been burning for all my life. I'm nearly 60. So it's been burning at least 60 years. You might be older. How long? If you are, you know, it's been burning all your life. You know what? It never changed. The moon is out there. It never changed. Every time I look, there it is. It's in some phase. It's either waxing or waning or it's full.
That's right.
And it's been doing that all my life.
All my life too.
I've been watching. I heard Sister Julie talk about a cherry tree she's going to cut down. She's going to do a George Washington on it, she said. But that tree keeps coming back, doesn't it? That's how God made stuff. How did he do it? I don't know. You know what? I'm not going to figure that out. I don't think I'll figure that out before I get out of here. And I'm hoping Jesus will come while I'm still here breathing and just take me up. That's what he promised. How do you do that? I don't know. But I want to be ready. When the trumpet sounds and the dead are raised incorruptible, The Bible says the dead are 6 feet closer to God than we are. They're in the ground, 6 feet. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, therefore, comfort ye one another with these words. We only hear that at funerals. That's why I'm preaching it this morning. Glad there's not no funeral in here right now. But you know what? I'm happy about the rapture.
Yes.
Every generation of Christians thought it could be in their lifetime.
Yes.
Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
Yes.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump,
yes,
the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we who are alive and remain, he says, we're going to be caught up. He says, it's a mystery. I don't know how that works. That's what that means. A mystery is something the Holy Spirit has to reveal to you.
Yes.
I don't try to figure out everything. When I figure it out, I'm going to come and join the church. No, you need the church. Get saved today.
Yeah.
Don't wait another second. If you haven't trused Christ, do it right now.
Right now. Be the best thing you ever done.
Right now.
It's the best thing I ever did. I think I can get a witness in the room.
Amen.
If somebody knows that it was the best thing you ever did,
right,
was to put your trust in Jesus Christ.
Right.
The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized and you shall be saved.
Amen.
Now, some of us might need to be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what the church does. That doesn't actually save you, Peter says.
Because
you're already saved when you come to the preacher.
Yes, you are.
When you give your life to Christ and join the church, what you're doing is joining thousands of other people who have trusted Christ throughout the years. And we are the body of Christ. We are his arms, his legs, his feet. And we minister his grace to the world.
Amen.
So if you're here and you are not saved, we want to give you opportunity today. This is a great day. I was thinking back, and I know the Bible says you were saved in God from the foundation of the world. He chose you in him. Now, so I don't know that when that happened, but I remember when I realized that I was lost. It happened to be on a Mother's Day. And somebody told me the gospel. In fact, it was Reverend Eugene Barney. He told the gospel. He was talking about judgment that was coming. I don't know exactly what he said. I don't remember every word. But I know when he got done, I said, I need to go. He did it. And I got up and ran up to the front and have been in the church ever since.
Amen.
Have been saved, serving in the church ever since in some capacity. You know what? I'm going to continue to do that the rest of my days.
Amen.
You know, I don't know how long that'll be. This might be the last day. I don't know. But I'm going to hang in here, right here.
Amen.
I'm where I want to be. That's where I got away from the airport. 30 years of that, that's enough. Now I'm going to try to, if I can get 30 years of this, if he waits that long, that'll be good for me. You know, praise
all
God.
Right.
So all I'm looking to do is let people know that God loves you just like you are. And if you don't have a relationship with him, it's your fault, not his.
That's right.
You need to trust him today. He said, if you are ashamed to own me before men, I will be ashamed to own you before my Father who is in heaven. That's why I boast about Christ all the time. I want him to say, when you see me coming up there, because I'm coming one day. You know, he said, I expect him to have a towel in his hand to wipe every tear from my eyes. There won't be nothing else to cry about. The former things will have passed away. He said, behold, I make all things new. See? And when he made it this way, and it's as beautiful as it is with all the corruption and damage that we did to it. Imagine when the Bible says it's rolled up like a scroll and I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God, John said. As a bride adorned for her husband. Imagine that, the majesty of a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God. See, I want to be there to see that. And look around and see all my loved ones who went on before me. You'll be able to see them all the way back to you connect to Adam. It's a deep thought, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
I want to be there that day. I don't want to be in the group Daniel said you're going to wake up to shame and everlasting contempt because you haven't believed God. Think about that. Boy, how awful would that be? Jesus said somebody going to be coming and saying, Lord, didn't we do all this stuff in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
Never knew you.
So you need to have a relationship with him. You want him to know you, and you need to know him. See, that's what it's about. It's not about waltzing in and out the church here and there and all that. Good works, none of that. I mean, he'll make your works good. That's why he saved us.
Yeah.
But it's by his grace through
Amen.
Faith.
Amen. That's right.
He said there in Ephesians 2:8-9, he saved us not, you know, basically not by works that we have done, but by his great mercy. Titus 3:5 says, all these verses tell us, but he saved us unto good works. God will make your works good when you trust him. Amen. I'm going to ask everybody to stand at this time, if you can. If you're dealing with children or something, that's okay. But if you are able to stand and pray with me. Eternal God, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt your name, Father. We thank you for the resurrection,
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That is the power of the gospel, the fact that we know that even the grave has been cheated, oh God, in some way, that you have taken back that which Adam lost. And you have given your son in order to prove that the grave has been defeated, that death has lost its sting. Like the bee, once he stings somebody, he's done. He can't do it anymore. So death has lost its sting. And the grave has lost its victory because you raised your son, Jesus, from the dead. Bless everybody under the sound of my voice, oh God, that is trusting in you. You said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open unto me, I will come in and sup with you. And he will give you that peace that passes all understanding. Receive it right now in the name of Jesus. We ask, oh God, that you bless everybody under the sound of my voice, whether it be a man or woman, whether it be a child or an adult, oh God. Bless them with the knowledge of salvation, God. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Lead and guide them to all truth, Lord, as you promised that you would do. Give them a peace that passeth all understanding. Help them to know that you have loved them with an everlasting love, and underneath are the everlasting arms. We bless you today, God. We praise you. We thank you for this celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray you be with our, in our minds as we go throughout the rest of the day, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
And throughout the rest of the week, Lord, let us meditate upon the sweetness of the gospel and the resurrection of your son. Bless whoever is receiving you right now for the first time, whether it be in this room, God, or through the internet, or however they're hearing this message, Lord. We bless you. We give you praise. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, to the praise of his glory. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And the whole church said together,
amen.
And give God a hand praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
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 The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually
be on my lips.